All right, good morning. Everybody look this way 1 second to the lady that needs no introduction. I'm going to introduce Miss Harriet this morning. She's going to sing for us and start us out in worship. She's a sweet, sweet lady. My sister got a sweet spirit. Everybody agree with that? But we're going to let her sing this morning, so thank you so much, sweetie.
Looked over my shoulder, God is there. Oh, looked over my shoulder, sure he there. Oh, he woke me out of darkness, and he brought me in the light. Oh, I looked over my shoulder, sure he there. Looked over my shoulder, God is there. Oh, looked over my shoulder, sure he there. Oh, he woke me out of darkness, and he brought me in the light. Oh, I looked over my shoulder, sure he there. Looked over your shoulder, God is there. Oh, looked over your shoulder, sure he there. Oh, he woke me out of darkness, and he brought me in the light. Oh, I looked over your shoulder, sure he there. Looked over my shoulder, God is there. Oh, looked over my shoulder, sure he there. Oh, he brought me out of darkness, and he brought me in the light. Oh, I looked over your shoulder, sure he there.
Beautiful as always. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Beautiful as always. Good job, sister. All right. Well, anybody ever like been looking forward to seeing a movie or reading a book or something like that, and somebody gives you a spoiler alert? Isn't that one of the worst? It's like, man, I wanted to see that. Well, I'm going to be the culprit of that this morning. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert just real quick before we get going, okay? I had somebody ask me again this morning, why? Why do we do what we do? Why would you prepare meals? Why would you do this? I want you to know this morning, everybody look this way. So that all that gather here will find faith in Jesus Christ or renew their faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. That's simply it. To let folks know they are loved, they are welcome, they belong, they are seen, they have a seat at the table. All these things that you've heard before, but that's why we continue to do what we do. Some of us were talking this morning, Brantley and Brandon and I, I think 5.5 years now we said we've been doing this church gathering the way that we do now, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it. There's nowhere else I would rather be this morning, and so thank you so much for being a part of it. Well, I want to give a recap. Those that I know, several new folks I've met this morning, and maybe some that haven't been in a while. I just want to give you a recap. We're on a study in Hebrews 11, talking about faith. Reminder that faith is complete trust in someone or something. That's the Webster's definition, a simple one. We see it in Scripture that it is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. But reminder that we all have faith in something or someone, right? Even those that would say, I have no faith, you've got faith in something. In fact, it reminded me of a passage in Job. If you go back to the story of Job, Job has just this great fortune and then great loss. And he stands before God and basically is complaining, as probably most of us would, with what he had to experience. And this is what God says to Job. Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Reminding him that Job, even though in your life you're, you know, this huge deal, it's all about you, right? Like in the grand scheme of things, where were you when I spoke everything into existence? And so we feel that ourselves. If you weren't there in the beginning, then you've got to have faith in something, be it science, be it knowledge, be it yourself, someone else, your church, your God, whatever. We all have a little faith in something. None of us are exempt from having to have faith, even if, I want to tell you this, listen to this, even if your faith is in nothing, you have faith in something. Does that make sense? Even if you say, I don't have faith, you got faith that nothing exists. You got faith that you're going to be okay in the end. Even if you feel like, hey, at the end of this life, I'm just going to die and cease to exist, that's faith that that's going to happen because you don't know that for sure, right? Everybody tracking with me? You got faith in something. I'm asking you, why not put your faith in Christ, the author and finisher of your faith? Because the Word says that one day, everybody check this out real quick. Look at that. It's coming to it. There it is. It stopped. Everybody has faith in something, right? So you're going to come to a point in your life, the author and finisher of your faith, why not have faith in Him? The Word says that every knee will bow. I'm going to say it again. Why not bow today, okay? So we've looked at Abel, we've looked at Enoch last week, and then we've looked at a little bit of verse 6. I want to remind you this. 6 is two parts to me. 6a would be this, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. We've talked about that, that it's essential that we have faith in our story, our church's story, in the time that we live in. Faith is essential. It's never been more essential than it is now. And then we've looked at these couple of characters, this extraordinary faith that they've had. But before we get to the next character, I want us to go to verse 6 and look at part B, if you will, the second part of this verse. And so I'm going to read Hebrews 11:6 in its entirety, and then that's where we'll be today, just real quickly with one verse. So let's read God's Word together, and here's what it says. Hebrews 11:6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is God-breathed. We thank You that it is so useful for so many things. Even today, right here, as we sit in this parking lot, beautiful weather, beautiful people gathered around, talking about faith and our complete trust in our someone, which is You, our something, which is You. And God, we just ask that You start someone's faith journey today. If they've never had faith and trust in You, that today would be the day. If we already have that, maybe walked away, that You renew that faith. If we're walking in faith, that You just draw us even deeper into relationship with You in faith. And so we pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've read every week in Hebrews 11, 6a that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I went really super deep on the word impossible. It means it's not possible, right? Super simple. But without faith, if you do not have faith in God, it's impossible to please Him. Here's what that means. You can go on and live your life as if God doesn't exist and be the coolest, the sharpest, the nicest, the friendliest, the most serving and all of this. But if you have not faith in God, it is of no account of pleasing God of the way you live your life. You have to have faith in Him. Without faith, we cannot please God. And without faith, you cannot have relationship with God. I would love if this was this moment where you come to a place today and say, I agree, I'm a sinner, I need help. And then Jesus just magically appears right there and says, man, just, I've been waiting. You know, shake our hand. It would be so much easier. There would take no faith for that. He's right there. He's standing. I could see Him. I could hug Him. I could tell Him thank you in person. I could do all of these things. I wouldn't have to have faith. But that's not the way God designed. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And without faith, it's impossible to have relationship.
Faith in Christ is what initiates relationship with God. But I want you to listen to the rest of 11:6. Whoever would draw near to God must believe he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, I want to break down the portion of the rest of this in our time together today. I'm going to give you a big word right here. We get to the part it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. And then it says, for whoever. I want you to do this for me this morning. This is a simple exercise. I want everybody to touch the sky. Raise your hand this morning. If you're raising your hand, if you're not, you listen to me. If you're waving them around just like you just don't care, like Wayne over here, I don't know. All right, you got it. You're a whoever. That's you. That's me. That's, you're in, right? And so here's what it says. When you get to there, it says, whoever would draw near to God. So whoever, the top of the top, right? The creme de la creme of everyone's Bible knowledge. I want to tell you this. Even non-believers, if you walk up to a non-believer today, someone who says, man, I don't believe in Jesus. It's a made-up story. It's an old book. It's fiction. Whatever. You walk up to that person and say, excuse me, sir, ma'am, could you quote John 3:16? They're probably going to get it, right? They may not have it word for word. Look at here. Awesome. What's up, Howard? Good to see y'all. Man, you get anybody. They're going to say John 3:16. How does it start? Whosoever, right? Raise your hand again. That's you. That's me. Whosoever. That means the dirtiest, the nastiest, the most sinful, the murderer, the rapist, the whatever you want to fill in the blank. Should they have faith in Christ? It's because God so loved the world. Then they will not perish. Whosoever. It doesn't make sense. In the economy of man, that doesn't make sense. Right? There's people who have done wrong to you that you honestly could look them in the eye and say, you will never come back for this. There's no way that we will be in relationship. Maybe you're that person to somebody else, but not in God's economy. God's economy, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. Whosoever covers whosoever. Now listen. There are deep theological thinkers out there, some who will disagree with this and say, well, it's only for this select few. Let me tell you the only problem with that. I can read scriptures that say about predestined. I can read scriptures and see about those he foreknew. I can read scriptures and say about those that are chosen. I think God's speaking of those who will accept. I believe that this book, from the first page to the last, is all about the whosoever's believe. He's calling you all. He's calling me into relationship. And then once we start it, he's calling us even deeper still. And here's how I know that. Didn't plan to say this, but a guy by the name of Peter was already in relationship with God. And then he has this moment that I believe was a literal moment in time, a literal story that happened in Scripture where there's this storm and Jesus is on the boat, and then next all the thing you know, he's out on the water and he calls Peter even deeper still. Come just a little bit further. Trust me. Follow me. You don't think that took faith? He had already entered a faith relationship with Christ. He met him physically and put his faith and trust, but then just a little further. I believe all of us all have an opportunity for relationship with God in Christ. Based on our own merit, based on our own accord, none of us are worthy. We all fall short of the glory of God. Your pastor, chief in the bunch, number one in line. I'm telling you, I know that from personal experience. You could say that as well. I'm there, man, on my own merit, on my accord. I couldn't make it in. Billy Graham, Martin Luther King Jr., you name the list of the greatest of who's who's. Biblical characters on their own, not going to happen. As great a men and women as we know and can name, not going to happen apart from faith in Christ. It is essential to have a relationship with God. We must have faith in Christ. Guys, I want to tell you though, it really levels the playing field. Anybody. Name them. Name the worst of the worst. Anybody that you know, history's worst. Should they have faith in Christ? It doesn't make sense, but they're in. They're in relationship. Whoever draws near, it says, whoever would draw near to God, whoever can believe, whoever draws near. I want to ask you a question this morning. If that's the call, if it's impossible to please God without faith, and then it says, whoever would draw near, then I want to tell you this, if there's a call for whoever to draw near, I want to know this, how can I draw near? How can I do that to a God that is in heaven seated on a throne? How can I draw near to somebody I can't physically see or touch or talk with, like in a verbal way and hear back in a verbal voice? How can I draw near to somebody that it takes so much faith? Well, I hate to tell you, but it's going to take in faith, complete trust in my someone, assurance of things hoped for, things that I can't see. It happens by this, by reading our word, by prayer, by fellowship, by what you're doing today, gathering around together. Can I tell you the honest to God truth? And I mean this, this is not some humble brag, this is not some trying to be false humility. The least important thing that happens out here is when I grab this mic. We're talking about the word, and that's great, and that's wonderful. What's even more important is us gathering together and saying, you know what? From all different walks of life, Jesus is the head of this thing, and we are family. That's the most important thing that we do out here, serve and love one another, and be reminded that Jesus is the reason for all of these things. So the gathering together, the serving in love, encouraging one another, the worship, and the list could go on and on of how we draw near. But here's one thing for sure. Whoever, that means all, whoever draws near. I want to tell you something that I believe is prevalent in this community. It's probably prevalent in anybody that you seek out or would name. Some of us have the fear of rejection built down deep inside of us. Maybe it's because of a lifetime of rejection. Maybe in like going back, even back to your high school days, maybe you didn't fit in. Maybe you didn't feel like you were a part of any kind of group or a crowd or friends. Maybe you've applied for a job or applied for multiple jobs. You keep getting rejected. Maybe you've applied for housing and you get rejected. Maybe you've asked somebody out on a date and you've gotten rejected. You get what I'm saying? Like it's this fear of rejection is there. It's like, I don't really want to put myself out there because maybe they won't accept me the way that I am. And unfortunately, part of a broken world, maybe that is the case with some in our society, but I can tell you this, that if you put yourself out there to God, there is no fear that is necessary of being rejected because it is finished. He's paid for it. In fact, He's paid for it in waiting for you, waiting for the day that you would trust and believe that it is finished and put your hope and your trust in Him. Couldn't help but think this week as I read this, for whoever would draw near to God took me to a passage in James. James 4:8 says this, listen to the promise of God. In fact, do this for me just a second. A lot of people out here, a lot of stuff going on. Close your eyes just for a second. Feel the breeze, feel the warmth, feel the nice, beautiful day. And I want you to hear this as a promise from God to your heart. Draw near to God. How do we do that, Keith? Faith, Bible, prayer, fellowship, serving, loving, encouraging, all of those things, worship. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Everybody look this way. Do you know that's a promise? That's a promise. If you're here this morning, say, I've never done that. I've never drawn near to God. Do it today. Because I'm telling you this, the Word says that if we would draw near to Him, that you don't have to worry about somebody that's standing there all closed arm and mad at you. If you draw near to Him, He's waiting. He's waiting. And better than that, like the prodigal son, especially there's some prodigal sons and daughters here maybe that knew this from a long time ago and you're scared to death to try to go back to Him. All I can tell you is that the love of the prodigal father in the story is that he didn't wait for the son to crest. Once he crested over the hill, he didn't wait for the son to come to him. You remember the rest of the story? It says that he ran. The father ran and couldn't stop kissing the son and celebrating. The son that was dead is now alive. The son that was lost is now found. And then he said probably some of the sweetest words ever spoken. Let's have a barbecue. Let's grill. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. My son that was dead is now alive. My son that was lost is now found. By the way, he's dirty. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on him. Let's celebrate. I'm telling you, man, if you draw near to him, it's not going to be some empty response. It's not going to be days of feeling like, will he answer? Will he even forgive me? Draw near to him. And he will draw near to you. I believe that is a promise that we can take him at his word. Draw near, and he will draw near to you. It says this, but whoever draws near must do so in faith. And that's two reasons. One, without it, we can't please him. And number two, we must believe he exists. This is what Scripture says. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. Let me tell you, how can you have faith in somebody that you don't think's real? How can you have faith in someone you says he doesn't even exist? It says, if you want to have a pleasing relationship with God, you got to have faith. And then he says, whoever draws near to me must believe that I exist. That's pretty simple, right? We got to start there. I believe you exist. I believe that Jesus came and he lived and he died. I believe that he took my place, that he paid for my sin. We've got to enter, when we draw near to God, we must believe that he exists. I want to tell you this morning, though, if there's lack of belief there or lack of understanding, there's grace when we don't have that belief or that faith. In fact, I was taken to a story in Luke this week thinking about this. Luke 17, the apostles said to the Lord, listen to what they said. They're really with him. You understand this? When we listen to the disciples and we hear something they say, the physical Jesus, 12 disciples, and then the group that were hanging out with them, these other followers, these other disciples, they were physically walking with Jesus. Like, can you imagine? They had seen it all. They'd seen the feeding of the 5,000. They'd seen him walk on water. They'd seen him heal a paralytic. They had seen him go up to the unclean leper and touch all of these things. And yet they come to a moment to God in the flesh, Jesus, and they say this in Luke 17, Lord, increase our faith. They understood that it took faith, and they're sitting there watching him. You don't think we don't need some faith? We've got to go. We've got to enter through the door of faith to have relationship. But listen to what he says. This is so encouraging. Because if you're here this morning, say, man, I don't have a lot of faith. I struggle with faith. I struggle believing he exists. I struggle believing that he cares for me. I struggle believing that he loves me. I just don't have a lot of faith. Man, I got good news this morning. Everybody look this way. It don't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot. The disciples are there and they said, Lord, would you just increase our faith? And listen to what he tells them. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. Another time he says, if you look to that mountain and ask it to move in faith as small as a mustard seed, it'll move. I can't explain that. I can't wrap my mind around it. But I'm taking Jesus at his word that it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. Just a little. And here's what that means, is stepping outside of yourself from producing results, stepping outside of your own comfort zone or your fear of rejection and saying, that's it, I'm done, I'm putting my faith in you. Just that one step. And some of you here this morning say, man, I just don't know that I have that kind of faith to live my life that way. All it takes is one little bitty step of faith. I believe that's drawing near to him, and I believe this, he'll draw near right back. A mustard seed. God uses a parable just to show, draw near to him, it doesn't take much. Aren't you glad that God can do a lot with a little? I am living proof of that. I ain't got much. But I've seen God use it, and I know you've seen him use it in your life as well. Go to him in faith. I want to read the last part of this, and we'll close. So we've got here, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, but listen to the last, and that he rewards those who seek him. Draw near and have faith. And it says that he will reward you. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. You mean to tell me, Keith, that if I draw near to God, that I'm going to do so and I'm going to look outside my apartment and tomorrow morning he's going to reward me with a candy apple Lamborghini. It's going to be sitting out there. Hey, what's up, dude? It doesn't work that way. Like, can I be honest? I kind of wish it did. I've always wanted a Lamborghini. When I was like 14, I had a poster on my wall, and I was somehow convinced that was going to be my first car. I'm 43. It's never happened yet. Probably not going to, right? Unless, does anybody out here have a Lamborghini they want to donate to me? All right. There we go. Maybe it will happen. It's not going to happen. And that's okay. That's not how God works. It's not like, man, I want a yacht, so I'm going to have faith, and then he's going to reward me. Can I tell you even the greater reward? Here's the reward he's talking about. I think from the whole of Scripture is this, that we go to him in faith and believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him by this, that when we seek, when we look, we will find him. We draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Is that not even a better reward? Honestly, the King of Kings, the Creator of all, that he comes to you, a sinner, that in a little bit of faith says, I want to believe, I need you, and draw near to him, that the Creator, even that he lends an ear, but that when he does so running and walking to us and saying, you're drawing near to me, guess what? My reward is this, I draw near to you, I choose you. He doesn't reject us, he loves us, and invites us into relationship. And the best news of all, listen to this. I'm going to close with this one statement. When he draws near to you, he doesn't do so angrily. He doesn't do so just hacked off that you've messed up yet again. He doesn't do it as a hired hand and saying, man, you can come work in my fields. That's all I got for you. He draws near to you and says, in Jesus' name, son and daughter. That's what he says. Welcome back. This is the way it was always meant to be. It was always meant to be Eden. If you want to know where God wanted you, go back to the very beginning. He wanted perfection. He wanted an afternoon walk with you. He wanted relationship. From the very beginning, it didn't take us long. We messed up. And then the rest of the story is his rescue plan to set that back right. That one day, he's in the process now making all things new. And I'm so glad. And all it takes, faith. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. You bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a second. We'll get started here giving out supplies in just a second. And by the way, a continuation. Why do we do that? So that all that gather here may start a faith relationship with Jesus, or that it would be renewed. That's why we do what we do. Yeah, it's to take care of a physical need. But I pray this week when you open food, it's a reminder. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. I want to close with a promise. Listen to this. Just take him at his word. Even if you don't feel like you got the faith to do it right now, maybe just a small little mustard seed step. Listen to this. From his word, draw near to me. This is God speaking to you. No matter what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do, you that may be hung over from last night, that may be coming off a high, that may have robbed something last night, whatever. In spite of you, in spite of your sin, in spite of your shortcoming, in spite of you falling short, he says this to you and to me. Draw near to me and I will. Not that I might, not that I could, not that I maybe. Draw near to me, your name, son, daughter, in Jesus' name, and I will draw near back. Let's trust him at his word this morning. Take that small step. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that if someone here has never taken that first step, why not today? Man, what a beautiful day to meet you, God, for the first time. It's simple. Mustard seed faith. I believe he exists. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that my sins are forgiven. I believe that I have a seat at the table as a son or a daughter in Jesus' name. See it. First step. It's done. Then it says from that your spirit will indwell with us. We will walk the rest of our life with you. And that when we leave this earth, we will be in your presence. And all things will be made new and all things will be set right. All that has been lost will be regained and then some. That's good news. That's the gospel. May we take that first step. If we've already taken that step and maybe in a time like now, our faith is struggling. There's practical steps. We can pray. We can read your word. We can fellowship. We can do all those things. But how about a renewed faith? A renewed trust. Okay. Jesus, your word says that if I draw near to you, you'll draw near to me. Maybe that faith is renewed today. Either way, Jesus, I pray over this crowd. I pray over my heart. Give us just a mustard seed of faith, and let's see what you can do with it. Your word says that you can do a whole lot. Maybe even give us more faith than that and see what you can do with it. So we trust you. We trust that we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. Thank you for that kind of relationship that absolutely blows my mind. It does not make sense because I've wronged you. I've walked away so many times in so many different ways, yet you are constant and that you draw near to me when I draw near to you. Jesus, you are good and we need you. I pray your blessings of faith over this crowd. I pray for first steps. I pray for renewed steps. I pray for deeper steps of faith this week in all of our lives. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Raise my fist up to fight them.